This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد we begin by thanking and praising Allah. Allah is the most generous, the most merciful. We ask Him to guide us, we ask Him to protect us from all evil within us and around us. We bear witness that He is the only one worthy of our worship. We bear witness that His beloved messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is the last and final messenger. We ask Allah to shower Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam with compliments and salutations, and upon his family and upon his companions, and upon those who follow his tradition until the end of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in dozens of places in the Qur'an, commands us and reminds us and admonishes us to make sure that we are in a state of taqwa, to make sure that we are in a state of being where we are concerned about doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded, and concerned and careful not to do that which He has prohibited. In a few other places in the Qur'an as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the creation of the first human being, Adam alayhi salam. In one particular section in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into some detail of a conversation that took place between Himself, Jalla wa Ala, and the angels, the Malaika. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed them that He was going to create this creation of al-insan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announced to them that He will create a creation that will reside on this earth and represent the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, represent justice and balance, and carry out what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded on this earth. The reaction of the angels was one of surprise and confusion. They could not understand the wisdom behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having this creation. And the ulama of tafsir, they commented on this and they said this is because of what they had witnessed from the behavior and the actions of another creation which preceded the creation of the human being, which was the creation of al-jinn. So the angels asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They asked not from a place of disbelief, not from a place of disrespect, but they asked from a place of sincere curiosity and genuine desire to understand the wisdom behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's action. They said, قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاء وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. They said, O Allah, are you going to put a creation on this earth that will cause destruction, corruption, will spread harm, blood will be spilled, But all the while, O Allah, we are glorifying you, we are announcing and declaring that you are free from any fault. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply told them, قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded them that He has knowledge of that which they do not know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Alim, the most knowledgeable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ilm and His knowledge preceded any of these creations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not have a beginning point the way you and I and the rest of creation did. And He had a wisdom and a purpose for this creation that the angels did not know. And He did not fully explain to the angels at that time what that wisdom was. But yet when you fast forward in the story, in this section of Surah Al-Baqarah, and in all of the other sections in the Qur'an where Allah tells us about the creation of Adam, we see that Allah commanded the angels to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. This was a command that Allah gave the angels. And they obeyed. فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. So the angels prostrated. Let's pause there. The purpose of mentioning the story is not to go into all of the details of the story of the creation of Adam, but just to look at the reaction of the angels here. Were they not the same ones that had a question and did not fully understand the wisdom behind Allah's action just a few moments before? Yes. And they asked. Did they get the full answer? No. So when Allah then commanded them to prostrate, did they say, no, we will not, because we don't understand the wisdom behind this? You haven't given us the full breakdown of why you are creating this creation? Notice that Allah did not negate or deny that what they said was true. When they said, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ, this creation will cause some harm and some corruption and blood will be spilt. Allah did not respond to them by saying, no, you're wrong, that's not what will happen. No, because that is true, what they noticed. But yet, سَجَدُوا, they prostrated. How were they able to do that? When we know for a fact from the text of the Qur'an that they clearly did not fully understand the wisdom behind this action of Allah. How were they able to then just submit and prostrate to the creation of Adam alayhi salam as Allah commanded them to do so? Very interesting question. In so many places in the Qur'an, Allah tells us about stories of the Anbiya, the prophets and the messengers. And a common theme between these Anbiya is all of them dealt with a conflict. صِرَاعٌ مَا بَيْنَ الْحَقِّ وَالْبَاطِلِ. A conflict between the party of truth and the party of falsehood. And every Nabi faced some level of harm from his own people that he was sent to for their own good, not seeking any compensation from them. There was mockery, like what Allah tells us about Nuh. كُلَّمَا مَرَّ عَلَيْهِ مَلَأٌ مِّن قَوْمِهِ سَخِرُوا مِنْهِ. The people would walk past Nuh and they mocked him. They made fun of him. Yet he continued. They said to him, you're building a ship in the middle of a mass of land. There's no ocean next to us for you to build a ship. What are you doing? This is crazy. Is there a point to what they're saying? Kind of. There is no ocean next to where he was. But yet he was doing what Allah commanded. Did he fully understand the wisdom of that at that moment? No. But he still did it. And he faced this mockery, but he persisted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the rain from the sky and water gushing forth from the earth, until it surpassed the level and the elevation of even the mountains. And Nuh witnessed his own son getting drowned. Once the water had been absorbed and it receded, and Nuh alayhi salam came back to earth, he made dua to Allah. إن ابني من أهلي وإن وعدك الحق وأنت أحكم الحاكمين. Oh Allah, my son is from my family. Your promise is a promise of truth. You are the most wise, O Allah. قال إنه ليس من أهلك إنه عمل غير صالح في قراءة. He is not from your family because of his poor choice of actions. فلا تسأل لي ما ليس لك به علم إني أعظك أن تكون من الجاهلين. قال رب إني أعوذ بك أن أسألك ما ليس لي به علم وإلا تغفر لي وترحمني أكون من الخاسرين. Allah told him he's not from your family because of his bad decision, even though he witnessed the truth. So don't ask me about that which you don't have any knowledge about. Nuh immediately apologized. Oh Allah, forgive me. I seek refuge in you from being of the ignorant. I won't ask you about that which I have no knowledge about. And if you don't forgive me and have mercy upon me, I will be of the losers. Did Nuh fully understand every detail of the wisdom at that point in time? No. Yet he remained faithful to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? How was he able to do that? Facing mockery. Musa alayhi salam, after he returns back to Egypt as a messenger, Bani Israel has been subjugated for generations and now it's intensified with the da'wah of Musa. Fir'aun is imprisoning people. People are being tortured. Musa witnesses his own people suffering all around him. And yet he says to them, إِسْتَعِينُوا بِاللَّهِ وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Musa tells Bani Israel, tells the few believers from his people, rely upon Allah. Be patient. This land belongs to Allah. It doesn't belong to Fir'aun. This land belongs to Allah. He will cause to inherit it those whom He wishes. And the best of endings is reserved for those that have taqwa. After everything Musa is witnessing, and after everything Bani Israel has been experiencing for generations, and now it's intensified, how and why is Musa alayhi salam able to tell his people, be patient, this land belongs to Allah? Our very own beloved messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when his own people kicked him out, he went in search of civilizations and tribes around to sponsor him and his da'wah. Not so that he can be a king over anyone. He already had that offer. He turned it down. But so that he can take people out of the darkness of disbelief into the light of the mercy of Allah. So he went to At-Ta'if. And the lengthy narration tells us of how people met him. He was met by three individuals who mocked him in the most humiliating of ways. One of them said to him, could not Allah have found anyone other than you to send as a prophet? Can you imagine being told that? When you are coming to people for their own good, you're not asking for anything from them. And they tell you, you're all that God could send as a prophet? This is the best that He's got? Hasha. Jalla wa ala. They mocked him. They made fun of him. One of them said to him, if you're really a prophet, then you're too good for me to talk to. And if you're a liar, then you're too low for me to respond to. Get out of my face. The most beloved of creation to Allah is being addressed in this manner. And then, is that it? That's already bad enough. No. They sent to him sufaha'ul qawm. They sent to him the lowest of people in that society to harm him physically and make fun of him and drive him out of that place. And the Prophet ﷺ has an opportunity for these people in that society for them to be destroyed. But he does not ask that of the angels. Time and again the Prophet ﷺ says, Allahumma ghfir li qawmi fa'innahum la ya'lamun. Time and again the Prophet asks Allah to guide and forgive his people. Time and again the Prophet ﷺ encourages patience by saying, perhaps from them will come a generation of believers. All of these are stories that are mentioned in the Quran. How are these faithful believers, from the angels at the time of the creation of Adam until our beloved messenger, able to maintain patience in the face of everything seemingly going wrong? It is an inner act of worship that the scholars refer to as husnul dhanni billah, to have a good assumption of Allah, to expect the best from Allah. We talked several weeks ago about the inner act of worship of tawakkul, relying and trusting upon Allah. This one is closely related as well. Closely related. That you expect good from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is decreed. We don't know the future, and we don't know what is to come, but we are living in the present. And so we expect that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed, from it will come something of benefit, so long as we are able to maintain our patience and our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does this concept mean? حُسْنُ الظَّنِّ بِاللَّهِ. To assume the best of Allah. Husn means something beautiful, the best. Al-dhan. Dhan in Arabic means assumption. And assumptions are of different types. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us from being people who make assumptions. In Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah said, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. إن بعض الظن إثم. Allah said, avoid most of suspicion. Because some suspicion will lead to wrongdoing, lead to a lot of harm in relationships, in wealth, in dealings. So they said that when an assumption is bad and it's not based on any hard facts, then it is something that would lead to bad. But when there is an assumption of good based on facts of goodness, then that is a good assumption. And all that what we know about Allah is goodness. Husnul dhanni billah. We would like people to have husnul dhan of us. We would like people to assume the best of us. We make mistakes. And sometimes people witness our mistakes. If we were to hold each other accountable for every wrong that we did, we would all be fighting each other nonstop. There wouldn't be anyone left alive on the face of this earth. But that's not how it works. In order for a group of people, for a team, for a community, for a family, for, on a bigger scale, people to live together, they have to overlook, you have to forgive, you have to let certain things slide, you have to work and negotiate. And we want that from people. When we do something wrong, we want people to say, it's okay, it was just a mistake. He's not an evil person. She's not a bad woman. That's what we want. We must, first of all, devote our good assumption to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not because Allah makes mistakes or does anything wrong. Hasha, absolutely not. But because there is a level of unseen and unknown. قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Only Allah knows the ghayb, the unseen. We see what is directly in front of us. So that which is not apparent, the wisdoms, the purpose sometimes of the actions and decrees of Allah are not always apparent to us. When they are not apparent, what do we fill that void with? We fill it with husnul dhanni billah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in a hadith narrated to us by Abu Huraira, حُسْنُ الظَّنِّ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ حُسْنِ الْعِبَادَةِ. To have a good assumption of Allah is to have good worship and servitude and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another narration also related to us by the companion Abu Huraira, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I am, in my actions, Allah says, that I am, my actions will be at the place of the assumption of my servant towards me. In another narration recorded in the book of Musnad Ahmad, there is a continuation which helps us understand that. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said on the tongue of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنْ ظَنَّ بِي خَيْرًا فَلَهُ وَإِنْ ظَنَّ بِي شَرًّا فَلَهُ. If the servant of Allah assumes bad of Allah, why did Allah decree this and this to happen? Oh, it must be because God is punishing me. It must be because God is evil. It must be because God is malicious. Hasha. Then that's what they will find. But if they assume good of Allah, that Allah is preparing me, Allah is allowing me to save up and earn more reward, Allah is strengthening me, Allah is elevating me, Allah is protecting me and preventing me from something worse. If they assume that of Allah, then that's what they will find. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, this companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he swore by Allah. He said, Wallahi, Wallahi ladhi la ilaha ghayruh. He said, I swear by Allah, the one there is absolutely no deity other than him. He said, لا يحسن عبد بالله عز وجل الظن إلا أعطاه الله عز وجل ظنه ذلك. إلا أعطاه الله عز وجل ظنه ذلك بأن الخير في يده. Ibn Mas'ud said, any time I swear, he is swearing. You think a companion of the Messenger of Allah would swear in something in vain, something that's not true? He says, I swear by Allah, anytime a servant of Allah assumes good of Allah, expects good from Allah, that's what they will find. Why? Because all of goodness belongs to Allah and is in Allah's control. قُلْ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ ذَنْبٍ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Repent to Allah, for He is the most forgiving, most merciful. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. اللهم صل وسلم وأنعم وأكرم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. How can we develop this inner act of worship of always assuming the best of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, the best litmus test, the best time and experience for us to determine, am I assuming good of Allah or not, is at a time when there is some difficulty. And this happens on a personal, individual level and also on a communal level. On an individual level, when someone is afflicted with some type of test or some type of challenge, whether that be in their health or in their wealth or in some kind of loss, what is their reaction? Is their reaction to maintain gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah for ease and the ability to persevere through this test? Or is their reaction to question in a disrespectful and disloyal manner the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Likewise, on a communal level, when we see our communities or the global Muslim community going through different calamities in different places at different times, what is our reaction? Is our reaction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forsaken this ummah, or that the promise of the Messenger was not true? We've been just told a tall tale all this time. Is that our reaction? Or is our reaction one of helping and assisting one another and increasing in our good deeds and our collective assistance to be able to pass these moments of challenge and difficulty? The ulama said, if you want to have husnul dhan billah, then you need to go back to some inner dimensions of theology, belief. Who is Allah? What do we believe about Allah? And we don't need to look any further than the very names and attributes of Allah. Why did Allah give us all of these names and attributes? It's so that we would know Him. And when you reflect upon that, you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all over the Quran, He says about Himself that He has rahmah, mercy. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My mercy has encompassed everything. The Messenger of Allah and the companions were sitting there and they witnessed a woman who had lost her infant child in a hustle and bustle and commotion. And then she found the child. She raced to that child and grabbed it and hugged the child and was rubbing and holding that child in so many ways and positions and was crying, and the child is wet from the tears of that mother. The Prophet ﷺ asked the Sahaba, he said, do you think that this woman would cast her own child into the fire? They said, La wallah, no way. If she is able to not have this child fall into a pit of fire, there's nothing she will do to stop at saving her child from that. The Prophet said, لَاللَّهُ أَرْحَمُ بِعِبَادِهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ بِوَلَدِهَا. You see all of that mercy and love and protection and eagerness that that mother had for that child? I swear by Allah, Allah has more mercy for His creation than this mother does for that child of hers. In addition to the mercy of Allah, we must also reflect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of all things. Whatever He wills, He is capable of. لا يُعْجِزُهُ شَيْءٍ. Nothing is not possible or out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's realm of ability. From our perspective, things seem impossible. There is no impossible for Allah. So expect the best from Allah. There's a lot of talk and chatter always about current events and things going wrong and how doom and gloom and how dismal the situation is. Even if it's relating facts and events, do we devote that equal amount of our conversations to talking about Allah and the qudra of Allah? Maybe if we talked about Allah and His ability and His power and His wisdom and His mercy more than we talked about individuals and human beings, then our husnul dhan billah would increase. Then our reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would grow. In conclusion, one final point. The scholar said it is important to differentiate between assuming and expecting the best from Allah and also al-ghurur, to be deluded, to be fooled by our own actions. How so? Somebody who is constantly disobeying Allah and they say, Allah is merciful, I expect the best from Allah, He will not punish His servants. That's called being deluded. So Al-Hasan al-Basri broke it down for us in the most eloquent of ways. He said, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِ, the believer, أَحْسَنَ الظَّنْ بِاللَّهِ, has the best assumption and expectation of Allah. فَأَحْسَنَ الْعَمَلِ, so then they did the best possible actions that they could do. وَإِنَّ الْفَاجِرِ, and the one who does not have strong iman in Allah, constantly disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَسَاءَ الظَّنَّ بِرَبِّهِ فَأَسَاءَ الْعَمَلِ, they didn't expect good from Allah, so they didn't put forward good actions and good behavior. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who expect the best from Him and give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the best of our actions and our abilities, seeking the best reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to show us the truth clearly as truth and protect and guide us to it, and show us the falsehood clearly as falsehood and protect us from it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from confusion that would lead us astray. Tonight we have our FFN program. It'll be my pleasure to be with you as we talk about how to attain the love of Allah. That'll be after Salat al-Isha, which is at 7:30. There is a communal soccer tournament on December 23rd. That might be a good experience for you to join. So find more information about that with the flyers outside. And also look out for the flyers and the information about the Spring Break Umrah trip coming out of this masjid with Sheikh Mustafa. That will be starting on March 31st. You can go ahead and save your spot and make the minor pilgrimage. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وأقم الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا